Continue teaching on the fruit of the Spirit, which is really developing the character of Christ in us, which is what we are predestined for, even before the foundation of the world. So we better understand these things. I'm just so interesting because it really takes apart the character of God. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, and shows you all the different parts of his character, which we can develop because he lives in us now. And so this is the highest calling there is, to walk in this fruit and develop this fruit. And it was interesting to see how each fruit was so important in our life. The fruit of love is the motivation for God and others. We do everything because we love Jesus. We help that poor family because we love Jesus. Yes. And because we love them. And they need to see God in us. And love is such a phenomenal subject. It's got so, all the other fruit actually flow out of that. Joy of the Lord is our strength. Peace. The fruit of peace is our stability. It rules as an umpire, keeps us on the straight and narrow. Patience keeps us on track. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. And it enables us to receive all things, because patience, perseverance must finish its work. Kindness keeps salt in our lives. Goodness keeps us useful for God. And so every fruit has a purpose. We've talked about each fruit so far and how to develop them and why they're so important. This morning we're going to look at the fruit of faithfulness, which is so important also in our lives. You know, we're going to be rewarded for our faithfulness. Well done, good and faithful servant. And as long as we are faithful, which is a result of our faith. We are faithful because we have faith in the Lord. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. We know all these things, but it's good to be reminded to stir up our hearts always in these areas. As I said last week, I need this because God has got me doing new and different things with people I don't know, and got to put all these things into practice, keep reminding my heart of them. 2 Peter verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 3 to 11. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. That's exciting right there, isn't it? We already have it. Through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us very great and precious promises. Through these, his glory and his goodness. So that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Through the promises. Wow. And escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires, which are in our hearts. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. In other words, as we live for him, become more like him, we know him better. And we can do more and experience him more. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. So we are elected. We have been called. God chose us. But we want to do our part to make that more sure. There's a part that we have to play. People get so confused with works and grace. Mm-hmm. You know, it says in here, make every effort. Well, I thought I was saved by grace. Yes, you are, and by the grace of God, you learn to grow. But you have to make every effort to grow. If you just sit there, nothing's going to happen. So the making every effort is not working for your salvation. It's working out your salvation that you already have. Work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Faith without works is what? A dead faith. It's a useless faith. It doesn't accomplish anything. So if we have faith in Jesus, then we need to be faithful to him and everything that he says to become a disciple and to his character, to develop the fruit of the Spirit. And we have to make every effort on our part. If we make every effort, God's grace will work in our lives. And these things, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. So it started with our faith in Jesus that he died for our sins. We experienced the new birth. Now we have to make every effort to add goodness to that faith. It's a natural outflowing of faith. The Holy Spirit started ministering in our hearts through the Word, and we started to change, but we had to make effort to change. So to our faith, we had to add goodness. And then as we added goodness, and it started to grow, then we had to add knowledge. See, as we became more like Christ, we got more knowledge. We were living better. Righteousness is like a dawn of the morning, which gets brighter and brighter as we keep walking in it. Then as we got knowledge of God and how everything worked, then we had to develop more self-control in our lives so we're not so selfish and self-centered. And so we had to make every effort to exercise self-control. And to self-control, because I'm controlling myself more now I can persevere. So I have to add perseverance to self-control. And to perseverance, godliness. As I learn to persevere through the trials and everything, then I can become more godly. I can act better because I have self-control and I can persevere against all opposition, insults, or anything else that may come my way. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. So now I can be kind to the brothers no matter what they do to me. And to brotherly kindness, sacrificial love. See how it's a natural outflowing of love, and it comes back to love again. Or starts with faith and comes back to love. I guess there's a certain area that we get to and then we have to start functioning in the next one. I've never really, in my own life, I could see that I was growing in goodness and in knowledge as I look back on my life. But at the time, I was just trying to do everything, I guess, all at once because I knew it was right. And if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, then that will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. How's that for a promise? And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If there's a rich welcome, there must be a poor welcome. That's why I've always taught the degree that we work out our salvation with fear and trembling to that degree be directly tied to our rewards and our glorified body, everything. So this is not a passive Christianity. This is the kingdom of God suffers violent and violent men lay hold of it. It's a very aggressive Christianity that's going to live for Jesus because we have to be aggressive with our faith so that our hearts will change because they don't want to change. They are programmed a certain way and our hearts function so that it functions in a way in accordance with how it's programmed. So we have to force it to change. This is why Jesus kept stretching us. Go the extra mile. Turn the other cheek. What benefit is it to you if you love those that love you? Love your enemies. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Always stretching us. And so that's why we have to make every effort. We have to stretch ourselves more, make every effort to add this to this, to walk in the realm of the Spirit. And to the degree that we make every effort, with whatever measure you meet, so is it measured unto you. So it's all reciprocal. And it's all up to us because it's already given to us. It's already in us. It's already there. What do we want to do with it? So many Christians are still trying to do it in their own strength. They're trying to be good so God will like them. It's just so sad when Jesus has died and it's all by his grace. We just have to make the effort to receive his grace. So faith is the foundation of our salvation. It is the root, whereas faithfulness is the outgrowth of a Spirit-filled life. Faithfulness is the fruit of the Spirit. For us, faithful means maintaining allegiance, union or joining for common purpose to Jesus our Lord, being constant, being loyal, showing a strong serve of duty or responsibility, conscientious, reliable, trustworthy, fidelity, implies continued steadfast adherence to a person or thing to which one is bound by an oath, duty, or obligation. We are not our own, we are bought with a price. So it's a very strong sense of responsibility. I've always had that in my calling to be faithful to God. I was always more afraid of God than I was of people, so I just kept teaching and doing what I needed to do, what God told me to do. But there's a responsibility that comes with that. That's a ministry God has given me. He's given you a ministry. We all have a ministry. And being responsible to that, be faithful to that, to always keep doing that. That's what faithfulness is. Synonyms are words that mean the same as faithfulness. Loyal implies undeviating allegiance to a person or a cause which one feels morally bound to support. You guys have all been faithful and loyal to this ministry and the vision of this ministry and what God has called us to, and so you're all a part of it. Revelation 12:11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. Did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. It also means constant, freedom from fickleness in loyalties and affection. Hebrews 10:39, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. It also means to be staunch, implies such strong allegiance to one's principles or purpose as not to be turned aside by any cause. Wow. You stay faithful. You don't get sidetracked here or sidetracked there or by this or by that or this situation or that situation. No matter what happens, what comes, you keep on trucking for Jesus and being faithful to him. Deuteronomy 5:32, Moses received the Ten Commandments and instructions on the mountain. So be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. It also means absolute, stresses unwavering determination. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. You have to appreciate faithfulness because the Bible says when we are not faithful, he still is because he cannot deny himself. If we deny him, he will deny us, but he always remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. Aren't you glad we have a faithful God? He never changes. He's always the same. Doesn't matter what we've done, we can come back to him. Forgiveness is there. He's happy to have us back. He wants us back. Wow, wow. God's got this thing set up so the devil can't win. We just have to be faithful. And it's the only thing we get rewarded for in the end is faithfulness. Everything else happens through us because we're faithful. God works through us. He looks after us. The Holy Spirit keeps us humble. The Lord will allow things to happen in our life to humble us. He looks after our character as we're being faithful to him. He causes us to grow. Wow, it's just so his grace functions in every imaginable area of life. Even when we don't know what's going on, he's dealing with our hearts. Faith is not simply the assent of the intellect to revealed truth. And that's what many Christians are doing it's mental assent. Oh, yes, I believe God heals. I don't know how many pastors in Cambridge told me that, but none of them had miracles in their services. They didn't even teach about it. If you believe it, why aren't you teaching about it? Why aren't you having the power of God? It is the practical submission of the entire person to the guidance and control of such truth. I've always been strong on that, on truth. This is truth. This is what I got to live. That doesn't mean I have never messed up, but I always keep coming back to truth. Otherwise, I'm living a lie. I didn't quit farming to come and live a lie. I got to live truth. Mental assent of intellect is important. We must understand who we are in Christ, but we need to live it out through faithfulness to experience it in our hearts. Many people say they believe in God and Jesus as the Son of God. If they believe that he died for their sins, that he is Lord of their lives, then the rest must follow. They would support and be involved with the program of God. They are discipled and make disciples, etc. James said that even the devil believes and trembles. Over the years, I've had friends die of cancer. I go and talk to them about God. Oh, I believe in God. I believe Jesus died for my sins. I never, ever saw an ounce of fruit in their lives. So they believe in that. I guess as a child, they went to church. Well, they went to Catholic school with me, some of them. So they believed in God. They believed in Jesus. But it never showed in their lives. It's amazing. People can believe in something, but then it's just what level of awareness do they have? See, because they're not living for him, they don't get to see him more clearly. They're not experiencing him in their heart. And so they're just at a certain level, and yet they all say they believe. But they don't know the depth of truth or faithfulness to go beyond that point of what they believe with their head. And so it's only in their head. It's not in their heart. And their heart really doesn't want to change, so they say they believe. That's why James says faith without works is dead. Mm-hmm. If we don't have works, if we have a dead faith, can that save us? And there again, that word salvation means complete and total deliverance from all evil. Our spirits are saved, but we're in the process of saving our souls. And to what degree are we doing that then? So you can see all the different levels of commitment to God in the body of Christ. Well, even churches are different levels of teaching or depth of teaching in the reality of experiencing God in their lives. And the more religious pride we have, the less they have of Jesus, because God opposes the proud. And yet they go through all the motions and they think they have the best church and the best this and the best that, but yet their pride won't let them see that they're missing stuff or that there's more there. It's amazing how it all works, isn't it? How the heart works. So we must be faithful to our faith. Because we can't trust our own hearts. I'm going to read John chapter 3, 18 and 21 out of the Amplified. Whenever we do the heart seminar, people are so blessed by it. Even people have gone to church for 30, 40 years. Yet my sister came to a seminar one time, and she's Anglican. She's what we would call a good person. But after the seminar, she says, "Oh, that's just common sense." And I thought, oh my goodness, she sure missed a lot concerning her heart. But she's very prideful, so she couldn't hear beyond her knowledge, or didn't want to, or whatever. John 3:18-21. But then she came to a healing service. That she figured out a little bit better. She said, "You live a life the rest of us cannot even comprehend," when she heard about all the miracles God was doing. But that didn't cause her to seek God anymore. See, that they're just in a certain spiritual state and they think that's all there is, and they don't know that you can seek God and get more, or, you know, I don't know what they do with me in the sense of quitting farming and going into the ministry and all of that. Like, I don't know what they do with all of that. He who believes in him, who clings to, trusts, and relies on him is not judged. He who trusts in him never comes up for judgment. Wow. For him there is no rejection, no condemnation. He incurs no damnation. But he who does not believe, cleave to, rely on, trust in him is judged already. He has already been convicted and has already received his sentence because he has not believed and trusted in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Once we ask Jesus to come into our lives, there's no other option but to live for him, to be faithful. I mean, the Bible is very definite in some areas about that. I think it's Hebrews chapter 6. If we have tasted of the eternal life and the goodness of God and what is to come, and we willfully keep on sinning, then there is nothing left except the judgment of God. Wow. He is condemned for refusing to let his trust rest in Christ's name. So God's not sitting up in heaven and saying, "Well, he's not trusting in my name, he's not living for me, I condemn him." No, the guy is bringing condemnation on himself because he's just not trusting. So he goes into farther darkness. He's not experiencing more life. So it comes down to, how much of God do we want? The basis of the judgment indictment, the test by which men are judged, the ground for the sentence lies in this: light has come into the world, and people have loved the darkness rather than and more than the light, for their works, their deeds, were evil. For every wrongdoer hates, loathes, detests the light, and will not come out into the light, but shrinks from it, lest his works, his deeds, his activities, his conduct be exposed and reproved. So I believe there's degrees of that also. People will live for God to a certain degree, but they won't give this up or won't give that up, or they want to keep this sin or whatever. But he who practices truth, who does what is right, comes out into the light. Who practices truth. That's a key word there, practice truth. We have to practice the truth that we know, and then we will have a deeper revelation of that same truth. And we have to practice truth because our heart wants to stay the way it is, so that his works may be plainly shown to be what they are, wrought with God, divinely prompted, done with God's help, in dependence upon him. So you realize in here there's all different degrees that this is talking about. To whatever degree, this is why Jesus said it's a spiritual law. With whatever measure you meet, so shall it be measured to you. With whatever measure you listen, degree of hunger, desire you have to understand more of God, to that degree, God gives you more revelation or understanding of his ways. Then, if you have more understanding, you're responsible for that understanding to be faithful. Or you will lose the awareness of that understanding even. To him who has more will be given, to him who has not, even what he has will be lost. This is how the kingdom just works. So in other words, God says, "I gave you everything. What you do with it is up to you. I love you. I'm always there for you. I'm faithful. Mess up, come back. I'm still here for you. But you're going to get out of this in accordance with how much you love me and how much you're faithful to me and how much you care about the kingdom and eternal values. To that same degree, you will be blessed." But we have people exercising their faith for everything under the sun, but not living for God. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, then these things will be added to you. So all these things come And God's blessing on our life comes as we are faithful to live for him. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many different ways the Bible says that. It's just amazing. Because it's all about character and depth of character. And by forcing us to live out of our comfort zone, our comfort zone is not to love our enemies, is it? But however much we force ourselves to live out of our comfort zone, to that degree, we'll have more of Jesus. You can't put new wine into an old wineskin. That wineskin, that old heart of ours, has to be stretched so that that life that's in our spirit can start to take over. And so we have to practice truth. We have to practice love. We have to practice. Paul talked about training. He says, I don't train as one beating the air. How a boxer will shadow box. But training in godliness, he says, has benefits for this world and the world to come. So we have to train ourselves. We have to practice this and practice and practice. Bill calls it coaching. Bill's a great coach. So we must be faithful to our faith. Out of faithfulness will flow honesty, integrity, sincerity, and also faith. The Bible literally says we are not our own. We are bought and paid for with a price. We belong to the Lord Jesus. When we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, when we were water baptized, we entered a covenant with him. And we have to keep our part of the covenant by his grace, which the Holy Spirit does as we meditate in the word. Wow, he does it all. God works at both ends. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 9, talks about a genuine faith. Faith in its essential temper or essential form is that elevation of the soul or that lifting of the soul by which it aspires to the good, the true, and the divine. Temper means to bring something to its proper texture or consistency by mixing with something or treating in some way. Like tempered steel by heating and cooling. It causes steel to come to its proper condition that we want it to. And so our faith is tested. And by continually being tested, it proves that our faith is genuine. It causes our faith to come to a true position where it inspires our soul to constantly live for Jesus. And it comes through the testing and the tempting of our faith. Let's turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. We have to see all the testings as all things work together for good for those who love God. Because if we love God, no matter what comes our way, we're going to grow. So 1 Peter 1, 3 to 9. Praise, honor, blessed be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his boundless mercy, boundless, endless mercy, we have been born again to an ever-living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. How about you? Just reading that, I get excited. Born anew into an inheritance which is beyond the reach of change and decay. Isn't that good? Wow. What's in our born-again spirit will never, ever change. Beyond the reach of change and decay, will never decay. Anytime we pray, spend time in the Word, spend time with the Lord, life comes to us every time, every time, every time. Unsullied and unfading, reserved in heaven for you, who are being guarded, garrisoned by God's power. We are being guarded by God's power through your faith till you fully inherit the final salvation that is ready to be revealed for you in the last time, which is the salvation, complete salvation of our soul and our body. You should be exceedingly glad on this account, though now for a little while you may be distressed by trials and suffer temptations. so that the genuineness of your faith may be tested. Your faith, which is infinitely more precious than the perishable gold, which is tested and purified by fire. So faith is more precious than gold. Everybody wants gold. It's so expensive now. $1,200 an ounce. We get to heaven, the streets are going to be paved with it. We don't need it all now. God will look after us. This proving of your faith is intended to redound or rebound to your praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ, Messiah, the Anointed One, is revealed. So all the testing that our faith goes through is going to be to our praise and glory and honor when Jesus is revealed. Wow, think about that. So every trial you go through, if you go through it in faith, you can have the socks blessed off you when Jesus shows up. Now you got to realize the opposite is also true. If you bellyache and complain instead of exercising faith. Without having seen him, you love him. Though you do not even now see him, you believe in him and exult and thrill with inexpressible and glorious triumphant heavenly joy. At the same time, you receive the result, the outcome, the consummation of your faith, the salvation of your soul. So the salvation of your soul, which is to become more like Jesus, which is developing the fruit of the Spirit, acting in faith through every trial that you go through, is going to help you to grow, and there's going to be a great and glorious reward because you're producing faithfulness. Well done, good and faithful servant. See how everything ties into our eternal reward through the character of being a disciple. Some people think that once you ask Jesus to come into your life and you're born again, they've arrived. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm seated with Jesus in heavenly places. It's only the beginning. All those things are true. That's our position that we could always fall back on when we mess up. And God is faithful. And it gives us a positive self-image and a powerful attitude in life because we have the new birth now in us. Now we got to work that all out. But no matter how many times we fail, God is faithful. We keep coming back, keep coming back. And you know what? He's so happy every time we come back because that gives the Holy Spirit more time to work in us and the devil less time to keep messing us up. God is thrilled when we come back. Sin's already paid for. That's not a problem with him. But if we keep walking in it, it's a problem for us. Can you imagine these terrorists that blow up people and God appears to one and says, you're going to go back and you're going to lead many Muslims to the kingdom for me. Isn't that what he did with the Apostle Paul? Same thing. What an amazing God. His boundless mercy, his boundless love. It is endless. He's always there for us. Even when we're not faithful, he is. Because he cannot deny himself. This is the way he is. This is his character. The fruit of the Spirit is his character. Can you imagine heaven? I can't. Having that kind of character in every circumstance and situation. Wow. Boundless forgiveness. Boundless restoration. But this is why on the cross, it's an absolute righteousness. It's an absolute forgiveness, an absolute restoration. It's an absolute everything. Wow, wow. Wow. Absolute reconciliation. Everything, everything, everything. These are awesome things to meditate on. You can't help but be happy in the Lord once you've grown. And Faithfulness is an attribute of God. He is completely trustworthy. He is faithful. Those called must hold on to his word without wavering, for he is the Holy One. The rock is absolutely sure. Let's look at 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified because it's probably better. Paul says in verse 9, "For that gospel I am suffering affliction and even wearing chains like a criminal, but the word of God is not chained or imprisoned. Therefore, I am ready to persevere and stand my ground with patience and endure everything for the sake of the elect, God's chosen, so that they too may obtain the salvation which is in Christ with the reward of eternal glory. The saying is sure and worthy of confidence. If we have died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny and disown and reject him, he will also deny and disown and reject us. If we are faithless, do not believe, and are untrue to him, he remains true, faithful to his word and his righteous character, for he cannot deny himself." Isn't that amazing? We endure, we will also reign with him. So our position is that we are seated with Jesus in heavenly places, because he went through it for us. We were crucified with Christ. We died with Christ. We were raised to newness of life with Christ. We were buried with him, raised to newness of life. So God looks at us as if we went through it ourselves, because Jesus went through it for us. That's what gives us that wonderful position in Christ and all that we have in Christ. And that is always an established fact because of what Jesus did on the cross. So that is always the core of our faith, the core of our belief, the core of why we live the way we do for Jesus, because of that. But we will not rule and reign with him if we do not endure in this life. If we do not allow our faith to be tested and proved genuine. If we're not faithful, we don't get to rule and reign with him. Those who overcome, I will give to sit with me on my throne, even as my Father gave to me to sit with him on his throne. So it all comes down to living the life, producing the character of Christ in us. I don't know why so many Christians miss that, and then they get off into this ridiculous, sloppy grace, and, oh, we're under grace, everything's all right. We can go out and get drunk and do this and do that. We are free in Christ, free to be an idiot. They just don't understand. It's like they take this position they have in Christ and its entitlement to live however you want and still be blessed. It's weird. They think God is, I don't know what they think about God. They think that's the way he has it set up. So we can have great faith in his faithfulness, because this is God's character, because he is faithful, because he cannot deny himself. I can trust him with my life. All of my life, everything. And the more I trust him, the more my faith is made complete. Mm-hmm. When Kathy and I left the farm to to answer our call, the call in our lives. We went to Bible school. We didn't even know what we were called to. We just knew that God had called us. And I wasn't really saved that long. Probably more naive than anything else, but I figured if God called me, then he's going to look after me, so we'll go. We'll leave the farm. We'll leave our future. We had planned for the kids, our future, everything. We'll just go. And God has been faithful, right, honey? Wow. When we look back and we see the faithfulness of God because we just kept going and going and going. Doesn't mean it was always easy. So there's a correlation of faith and faithfulness. And we'll leave that for next week because my time has disappeared again. Anyways, we still have a few more fruit to go. Meekness. Fruit of self-control. Oh, wow, we're all waiting for that one, aren't we? All right. Father, we thank you for your word. It's always so precious. It ministers to our heart every time, Lord, and we just refreshes our heart, Lord, of how faithful you are. It refreshes our heart of your character, that we can trust you no matter what, because you are faithful. You cannot deny yourself. Jesus, we want to be like you. Thank you for your gentleness, Holy Spirit, and how you take us through these things. Sometimes you let us have bad attitudes so that we know and realize that our attitude is wrong and we got to work on that. And then you bring about the grace to work on that as we submit to your word. It's just so wonderful how you gently take us through things without forcing us. But you stir up a hunger in our heart every time we read the word to be like Jesus. We give you all the praise and honor and glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, we talk about, just a minute, we talk about life. Kathy and I are 70 years, 71, and we think, how did that happen? But you know, I figured it out one time, God's timetable, 1,000 years is as a day, so 70 years is about 2.5 hours. I figure I can behave for 2.5 hours to have glory forever and ever in the presence of God. That's a good deal, isn't it? This is why Jesus said, I'm coming soon. It's been 2,000 years, but it's only a couple days to him. Yeah, patience.